ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 3, Text 29. Prakritehe guna sammudhaha sajjante guna karamasu tan akritsna vidaha mandan kritsna kritsna vit na vichalayet Prakriter guna sammurha sajante guna karmasu tana kritsna vido mandan kritsna vinna vichalayet Prakriter guna sammurha sajante guna karmasu tana kritsna vido mandan kritsna vinna vichalayet Prakriter guna sajjante guna karmasu tana kritsna vido mandan kritsna vinna vichalayet prakritehe of material nature Guna, by the modes, sammurhaha, befooled by material identification, sajjante, they become engaged, guna, karamasu, in material activities, Tan, those, akritsna, vidaha, persons with a poor fund of knowledge. That's a use of English which is we find in Prabhupada's books, but otherwise we don't hear. Anyone speaking of a poor fund of knowledge. It's a Prabhupada usage. It means stupid. Ignorant, actually ignorant is a closer. Poor fund of knowledge. Mandan. Lazy to understand self-realization. Kritsnavit, one who is in factual knowledge. Na, not. Vichalayet, should try to agitate. Verse translation. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. purport. Persons who are unknowledgeable falsely identify with gross material consciousness and are full of material designations. This body is a gift of the material nature, and one who is too much attached to the bodily consciousness is called manda, or a lazy person without understanding of spirit soul. Ignorant men think of the body as the self. They accept bodily connections with others as kinsmanship. The land in which the body is obtained is their object of worship. And they consider the formalities of religious rituals to be ends in themselves. So this is a partial paraphrase of which verse? Yasyatma buddhi kunape ityadi. Social work, nationalism, and altruisms are some of the activities for such materially designated persons. Under the spell of such designations, they are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. Those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate such materially engrossed persons. Better to prosecute one's own spiritual activities silently. Such bewildered persons may be engaged in such primary moral principles of life as non-violence and similar materially benevolent work. Men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. Prakriter guna sammurhaha sajante guna karamasu tana kritsna vidho mandan kritsna vinda vichalayet om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah Nama Shreshtam Manapi Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasam Asham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadhutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shivishaka Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in this purport that bewildered persons can be, shouldn't be disturbed, shouldn't be agitated, should engage them in primary moral principles of life, such as non-violence, and materially benevolent work. So here Srila Prabhupada is telling us to preach Buddhism. But then Srila Prabhupada goes on to contradict himself, apparently, and to contradict Krishna. Why does Srila Prabhupada say that? Well, he says that acts of Krishna consciousness are absolutely necessary for the human being. And Krishna says here, well, if people are fools, okay, let them be fools. You go on, do your bhajan. Chant Hare Krishna. But it's a matter of compassion. So we may say, well, how if it's Bhagavad Gita as it is, that Krishna, that Srila Prabhupada is contradicting Krishna? Any suggestions? It's a way of preaching. But here Krishna says, don't preach to such people. Well, Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of ignorant people, but Krishna's doing it himself. Arjuna is a fool. He's already called him a fool. Pragyavadam shabhasha say, you're talking but like an intelligent person, but you're not. So Krishna himself is agitating the mind of Arjuna. Arjuna didn't want to be agitated. Arjuna said, no, Yotsya, I'm not going to fight. Oh, okay, all right. Okay, don't want to disturb your mind. But Krishna disturbed his mind. He started heavily insulting Arjuna. Anarya, you're just a savage. You're not even civilized. No, I want to be civilized by not killing people. No, be civilized and go and kill them. That's what civilized means in this respect. So non-violence in this purport is engage people in non-violence. Arjuna at this point might have said, oh, okay, all right. We won't disturb anyone. I don't want to disturb Duryodhana. So, okay. I'm glad you agree with me, Krishna. After all, you wasted so much time talking all this stuff about the soul and this and that in the previous chapter, but now you agree with me, okay, let's go off and start Buddhism before Buddha. It's not time for Buddha to come yet. It's time to fight. Now, how can Krishna say something which is not absolute? We have here in this verse, there are two kinds of people described. Kritsnavit and akritsnavit. Kritsnavit, Srila Prabhupada translates that as one who is in factual knowledge. What is it? What does Kritsna mean? Sanskritologists, Sanskritists. Complete, to make something complete, or it is complete. Now, in the previous verse, Krishna uses the word tattvavit. Tattvavit, which Srila Prabhupada translates as one who is in knowledge of the Absolute Truth. So Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, it's all absolute, right? I mean, absolute means it's right in all times, places, and circumstances. So everything Krishna says is absolute, right? No. But at least in Bhagavad Gita, no. When Krishna calls Arjuna Anarya, it doesn't mean that Arjuna's actually, that now he's condemned for all time to be, and now go off to the jungles and you like your bow and arrow, go and shoot with bow and arrow, go and shoot some wild boars and live like that. It's time, place, and circumstance instruction. So similarly, when Krishna says, this is not what Krishna says in this verse, Prakrite Guna Samurha, it's not an absolute instruction. It's not when Krishna speaks that the soul is different from the body goes through changes, but the soul does not. That is an absolute instruction. It's true in all times, place, and circumstances as long as the material world is running on, which it sometimes it stops running on, but when it is running on, it's running on. On the soul, the aparayam etastvanyang prakriting vidhi me param jiva bhutang mahabaho yedam dharyate jagat. It's running on, because the superior energy is there making jagat, gacchatiti jagat, which moves, is called jagat. So it moves by the soul, first of all, by the sa'aikshata, by the glance of the Supreme Lord, but it moves because of the desire of the living beings to move away from Krishna. So Krishna speaks of the Bhagavad Gita, but here what Krishna is speaking, it's a tactical instruction or advice. It's not true in all times and all places and all circumstances. Just like sometimes people, they complain, you see, this Bhagavad Gita is inciting violence. It's not inciting wanton violence, violence for the sake of violence. It's not that if we follow Bhagavad Gita, we should go and find our cousin brothers and try and kill them, which is what Krishna is inciting Arjuna to do in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Arjuna didn't kill any of his cousin brothers because he left them all for Bhima, because Bhima had already vowed, I'll kill them all. He didn't leave any for anyone else. So even when Arjuna had the opportunity to kill them in the middle of the battle, he left them and said, no, I'm leaving you for Bhima. That's his job. I'll do others. So this is a tactical instruction. It's meant for the purpose of bringing people to a higher platform. Now we may say that, well, if they're not on a higher platform, if they're on a low platform, how are you going to bring them up? Without instructing them. But the point here is that if people are so dull-headed, they're not ready to hear better instruction, okay, let them go on. This particularly refers to people within the Varnashram system who are performing materially pious activities, but they are desirous of material enjoyment. So by the process of following Varnashram, they can gradually be purified and gradually come to the point, atato brahma jignasa. They can gradually come to the point of inquiring about the nature of the Absolute Truth. So Krishna says, just let them go on like that for now, and gradually they'll become purified. However, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, says that, well, Krishna consciousness is absolutely necessary. And particularly in the present age, no one's following Varnashram. Not in the pristine way. Therefore, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nascheva, 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 Gatira Nyata. In this age of Kali, no one's properly following the process of karma. And as a result, people are in very degraded consciousness. They don't come to the point of jnana, sarva karma kilam parata, jnane parisamapyate. By performing karma, that means in this context pious activities, one is supposed to come to the point of knowledge. But if people don't perform pious activities, how are they going to come to the point of knowledge? And the highest knowledge, of course, is to know Krishna. Vedaischa sarvairaham eva vedyaha. So it's all or nothing in this Kali Yuga. Either take to Krishna consciousness or we're in a lot of trouble. The gradual process and gradual processes are not being followed at all. People are simply going to hell. And Krishna himself, he's not so unkind to Arjuna that he's going to let Arjuna simply sink into ignorance or remain in ignorance. Krishna is not that kind of person who's just trying to be nice to everyone. He is nice. He wants to be nice to everyone, but he's not that kind of boring person who just smiles at people and thinks they're being nice. And people just ignore such people anyway because they know it's all superficial. A lot of being nice is just, it's part of the process of enjoying yourself. Then I don't have to bother. I know, I just smile at everyone and then I don't bother them, they don't bother me, and I can get on with my life, they can get on with their life. I don't care for them and they don't care for me. Krishna's not like that. Krishna's merciful. Krishna's merciful to Arjuna by telling Arjuna what he needs to do, not what he wants to do, what Arjuna wants to do. Not allowing Arjuna what he wants to do. So, if we actually have something serious and substantial to contribute to others, we may face opposition from them. Serious and substantial, the most serious and substantial thing is that, well, people have to change their whole lives. But people are stuck in a certain way of doing things and they become attached to that. The ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. You know the story of the, on one side of the river, people are attached to carrying heavy weights on their backs, which are of no benefit to them whatsoever. But they measure their prestige in how much heavy weight they can carry. And on the other side of the river, they see people not carrying weights. They're living happily. And the people on the other side of the river say, come on, just come over here. Well, I can't. There's a heavy weight here. You're not carrying it there. And anyway, if I try to cross, the heavy weight will make me drown. So just throw off the heavy weight. What? I've worked all my life to be able to have so many heavy weights. Now I'm in a very prestigious position. And what do you mean, give up the heavy weights? So they won't do it. They warn, the people warn their children, don't go near the river because people from the other side will tell you to give up the weights. And we're just training you as children to lift weights. And literally, the children going to school have such, on the way to school, they're training for weightlifting by carrying huge piles of books. So these weights, it's material attachments. I have so many things. I got so many things. I attained so many things. But these material possessions and material titles, material designations, they're all external to our real need, which is to be happy without all of this, which means in Krishna consciousness. So similarly, if we try to help others really, then we may have to go through so much opposition from the very persons we're trying to help. So Krishna's a really nice person because he's really being friendly to Arjuna by robustly instructing him and not allowing Arjuna to remain a fool. Sometimes to help others, you have to metaphorically give them a kick up the backside or in the face even, Prabhupada used to say, kick them in the face with boots. So this is what's happening with preaching Krishna consciousness. Now the book distribution marathon is going on. And book distribution means to disturb others. How many phone calls you get a day when people call into the temple and say, please, please, come to my shop and give me some books. I want all your books. Please, please, come, don't delay. How many phones a day like that? None. A week? Once it happened. Okay. It doesn't happen. Actually, when you go out distributing books, And you tell them, I'm bringing you Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The people should fall down at your feet and offer you puja. How often does that happen? How often does it happen that people say, get out, I'm not interested? A lot, right? You're disturbing them. I'm busy. Can't you see I'm busy? In the Western countries, trying to stop people in the street and they just ignore you and walk past. Sometimes, it doesn't happen much nowadays, but we used to get arrested for distributing books, disturbing people. People would complain to the police. We're disturbing them by trying to distribute books to them. Now, preaching and distributing books means disturbing others. So why should we do that? We're disturbing them to give them the knowledge that they need. They don't agree that they need. They don't think that they need it. And even after getting the book, they may not think that they need it. But if they read it, then there's a good chance that they may understand. They may not, even after reading it. It's possible. Depending on the attitude with which they read it, they may read it in a very rejecting mode, but if they read it with a little bit of open-mindedness, then they'll agree this is something valuable. There's so many instances where I was just reading yesterday of this, going back to the 1970s, devotees were getting arrested for reading, for distributing the books, and then one of the devotees went to the police chief and said, please read this book. Please try to understand what we're doing. And the police chief read it, and then he told the policeman, you stop arresting all these. He didn't become a devotee as such, but he understood that this is not something which is being distributed just to raise some money for someone somewhere, but it's a very serious message, and it's meant for the benefit of people. It's written in that mode of helping people. Usually before the December marathon, there's a talk about book distribution, but we can go on talking about it. We're pretty much in the middle now. We need inspiration also. As I was saying in a couple of weeks ago, the real inspiration comes from the 2-3 weeks ago. The books themselves are the real source of inspiration. Krishna is the source of inspiration within the heart. And that's Chaitya Guru, Guru within the heart. And then a guru from outside gives instruction about Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, in his books, he's instructing about Krishna. So by reading these books, we get inspiration to distribute them. One thing we understand that people, they need this knowledge. And another thing, we've realized that it's our duty to try to distribute this knowledge, just as Srila Prabhupada he didn't have to work hard. It was hard, he himself said. He worked very hard to produce these books. He stayed up at night composing his books. So by Srila Prabhupada's hard work, out of compassion, he made these books, and those who are fortunate to have receive this message within their heart, Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashita, has been inspired by Srila Prabhupada within their heart, then they feel that, well, Srila Prabhupada sacrificed so much. He's only requesting us to try to distribute this to others, so let us try to do also. I'm inspired to speak on book distribution, particularly by my godbrother Manidhar Prabhu, who, like myself, in his youth, was full-time engaged in book distribution. Of course, he was a maha mega book distributor. He and Rohini Sutta Prabhu distributed so many books that Srila Prabhupada, when he was told about this, Srila Prabhupada wrote them a letter. He didn't often do that. He just wrote a letter to these two devotees. He was so happy with them for their book distribution. So Murnidhar Prabhu, like myself, is now older and doesn't distribute books himself much, but he is now very inspired he has been all his life too, but that's his main service now, is going from place to place and simply talking about the glories of Srila Prabhupada's book distribution, so taking inspiration from him. I will do so. I can't do as well as him because he's so enthusiastic for that, but it's a matter of stating the facts. Why should we distribute books? Why? Well, we got some idea from this purport that we should disturb people to help them, but we should know that this kind of disturbing people is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, and that means pleasing to Krishna. Well, that's a good enough reason to do, and that's a good enough reason to do anything. If we know something's pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, that means it's pleasing to Krishna. Well, that's a good reason to, whatever we're doing, and whatever we're doing, if it's not pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, then we shouldn't be doing it. If it is pleasing to Prabhupada, and we know that so much, because just like I gave that anecdote of Srila Prabhupada, not that they'd written to him, but he wrote to them, just hearing about their phenomenal book distribution, going out in the cold weather, and Murnidhar Prabhu, they were both distributing German books, Murnidhar Prabhu in Germany, Rohini Sutta Prabhu mostly. I'm not sure actually, he's from Switzerland, so he could distribute in Switzerland also. And as far as I know, it's difficult for non-Swiss people to distribute books in Switzerland due to the police and the laws there. Anyway, they were both distributing huge numbers of books in German. And Prabhupada is very pleased with that. And there are so many instances of Srila Prabhupada expressing his pleasure at the, not only at book distribution, but particularly about that. And the last month or so before Srila Prabhupada departed from our mortal vision, devotees were just going wild distributing books, thinking that if we distribute so many books, Srila Prabhupada will be so pleased and then he won't want to leave. But anyway, Krishna had different plans. But the point is that they were going crazy practically. They were distributing books day and night. They were on a permanent marathon. And then the actual December marathon after that, just after Srila Prabhupada left, was the biggest in history at the time. Because they knew this is so pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, so let us distribute his books. And of course Srila Prabhupada said, I will never die, I will live forever in my books. So we want to introduce everyone to Srila Prabhupada. It's pleasing to all the devotees. The whole society of devotees becomes enlivened when the book distribution is going on. The whole spirit picks up. Srila Prabhupada warned several times that if we don't keep up the preaching spirit, then the temples will become empty, just like you won't know about this, but I myself going, sometimes in England I used to visit churches, and during the week, if you go in the church, that means not on Sunday, just empty. You won't see, mostly they're locked up. If you can go inside at all, mostly there's no one there. And they're all dark. There's no life. Nothing going on because there's no spirit. So Srila Prabhupada warned about that. That if we don't keep up the hearing and chanting and preaching, the temples will become like so many temples in India at that time in the 1970s, so many temples, there'd be bats flying around inside them, dogs living in them, full of bat stool, dirty. No one cared. There was no one cared. So if we don't care to preach this message, then simply the ritualism, it'll become like that. Offering arati will become ritualism. And then we can get to the point where we have this machine. You know, they have these machines where there's no one to bang the gong in the arati, so they have a machine to do it, the gongs and the drums. And nowadays, instead of paying pujaris, you can get a robot to do it. No one, it's not such a big demand, but maybe we could make a robot pujari can do the arati. Might be a good seller. You never know. No, I know, I'm not recommending it. You can't get a robot book distributor. That requires that one has to concentrate and really pray to Krishna within the heart. Pray to Srila Prabhupada that please inspire this person to take this book. And this way, we feel very close to Srila Prabhupada and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, whose mission it was to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Especially Nityananda Prabhu was known as manifesting more mercy than even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retired early from preaching, but he sent Nityananda Prabhu out to preach. And Nityananda Prabhu went to everyone, including all the worst kind of people, people who are considered worst in human society. In fact, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started the preaching mission, he sent out first of all Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu and told them, Shuno Shuno Nityananda Shuno Haridas Shabatra Amaragga Koraha Prakash Pratig Hare Ghare Giya Kara Ebika Bhaja Krishna Balo Krishna Koro Krishna Shikha. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas and Nityananda Prabhu to make his order known everywhere, going door to door to tell everyone to worship Krishna, chant the name of Krishna, and study Bhagavad Gita as it is. So Nityananda and Haridas, on their first outing, Nityananda wanted to deliver Jagai and Madhai, and Haridas, he didn't want to. He said, come on, let's be realistic. Of course he wanted to, but he was thinking of this verse in Bhagavad Gita, just, you know, let them be nonsense. There are better candidates for Krishna consciousness. But Nityananda, thinking that, well, anyway, some years later, Krishna's Kaviraj is going to write about us. Patra patra vicha nahi, nahi sthana sthan. Jecha pai taride prema dhan. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami will write that. The Panchatattva, in distributing love of God, they didn't consider who was suitable candidate, who's eligible, who's not eligible, what is the right place, what is the wrong place. Just wherever they got the opportunity, they distributed love of God. So Nityananda Prabhu, being the transcendental eccentric that he is, all merciful, he tried to deliver Jagai and Madhai. As a result, they tried to kill him or assault him. And as a result, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in an angry mood to kill them. And as a result, Nityananda Prabhu pacified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jagai and Madhai got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the grace of Nityananda. And Srila Prabhupada went among people who were so fallen that Jagai and Madhai, they'd probably be considered very civilized people. Yeah, they'd be at the head of society. They're in a very sophisticated way, exploiting others. Drinking, of course, that must be there. If you're civilized, you have to drink. That's in the Western countries. It's so much deeply in the culture, so-called culture. So Srila Prabhupada, he was the greatest servant of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by bringing what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give. We pray to Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami, who fulfilled the heart's desire, or established the heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the world, when will he show me his mercy, give me the dust of his lotus feet? So Rupa Goswami knew the inner heart's feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana. He is Krishna accepting the mood of Radha, so he can understand the feelings of Radha. So Rupa Goswami revealed this to the world. Srila Prabhupada is also doing that, also establishing within the world Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart's desire. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had the desire, Priti Vite Ache Jato Nagaradi Gram Sabat Pracha Hoibe Moranam. In every town and village of the world, my name shall be preached. So Srila Prabhupada was instrumental in making that possible. So he's also the representative of Rupa Goswami, of all the acharyas in the sampradaya. By bringing the message of Rupa Goswami, he translated one of the first books Srila Prabhupada gave us, Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he taught according to the line of Rupa Goswami. So, and he wanted these books distributed. The Goswamis, they were sitting in Vrindavan, six Goswamis, writing books. Later there are Goswamis, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Baladev Vidya Bhushan. So they were writing commentaries on Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada took the wealth of Vyasadeva, of Shukadev, of all the acharyas with their commentaries, and made them, gave the whole essence of that in language that can be understood by barbarians who had no idea of this culture whatsoever, no idea of this knowledge, no idea of the purpose of life. And Srila Prabhupada put it all in his books. As he once said, the best of me is in my books. What he came to give is particularly in his books. And he wanted them distributed widely to the public. Here in India, there's great opportunity to we're just discovering it after all these years of a great possibility to distribute full sets of Bhagavatam. Now that's just started to pick up. But we're looking forward to the day. Just like when book distribution started in America, if someone could distribute, first of all, I didn't even believe it was possible to distribute these books, the Krishna book, to the public. You had to get $10 for them, which even nowadays to get $10 out of someone just going out on the street isn't easy. In those days, $10, the value of money was more. They didn't believe the devotees. Srila Prabhupada got this book, Krishna book, printed. It was in two large hardbound volumes. Devotees didn't think it was possible to just. Prabhupada said to distribute them. Devotees didn't have a clue how to distribute them. They were used to going out and with Back to Godhead magazines and chanting parties and asking people for donations. People would give them a coin or two and they'd give them a Back to Godhead, and that was it. But selling people a book for $10, they didn't have a clue. But eventually devotees found that it was possible. One book, two books. In the beginning, if they did five books a day, that was colossal, unimaginable. But then we got to Rohini Sutta Prabhu and Manidhar Prabhu. Hundreds of books in a day. Unbelievable. It's even now we find it very, how do they do that? Now we are selling Bhagavatams, one set a day, two sets a day. What's the most you've done here in Salem in one day? Don't know. 10, have you done that many in a day? More? Yeah, okay. So we're looking to the day when we're selling regularly, daily selling hundreds of sets. Well, you can say Hari Bol, you have to go out and do it. But it is possible, why not? Why not? Can be done, should be done, must be done. If we pray and we're serious, then Krishna will give the intelligence. Otherwise, just like no one could have imagined, hundreds of books every day. It can be done. By Krishna's grace, the impossible can be done. The very fact that there is a Krishna consciousness movement at all, it seemed worldwide Krishna consciousness movement, it seemed impossible. But because Srila Prabhupada wanted to fulfill the order of his guru, had faith in his guru, and he did, and he went through so many difficulties, knowing that he couldn't be the loser. He wasn't afraid. Somebody told him, don't leave Vrindavan. If you die outside Vrindavan, what will happen? Stay in Vrindavan, then you go back to Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada wasn't afraid, because he knew that even if I pass away in the Western world, even without making any devotees, then Krishna will protect me. He wasn't afraid that he was going to lose something. So in the same way, but he knew that if anyone took to Krishna consciousness, or even if they didn't, just the fact that if he could get people somehow or other to hear about Krishna and chant about Krishna, even if they didn't take it seriously, that would be for their immense benefit. So with the same understanding, we should know that by giving these books, people get immense benefit, even if you can't see it. Even if they don't immediately change their life, we should know they're being immensely benefited, and we are also. And the whole world is benefited, just like it's stated in Chaitanya Bhagavad that Chaitanya Charitamrita, Haridas Thakur was sitting in a cave chanting Hare Krishna and benefiting the whole world. How is that? By his pure chanting, even though no one else was chanting or very few were chanting, the whole world was benefited. So in the same way, by doing this Sankirtan, distributing these books, it's Srila Prabhupada's kirtan, Srila Prabhupada's glorification of Krishna, and it's being spread everywhere. And the whole world is being benefited by that. It's imperceptible. It may be imperceptible. But definitely, by this book distribution, it's all auspicious. Rupa Goswami again, even in the beginning of book distribution, in the beginning of devotional service, Kleshagni, Shubhadha, it destroys all sins. The beginning of devotional service, it destroys all sins and bestows auspiciousness. So, in the same way, spreading Krishna consciousness, distributing these books, it's all auspicious for the whole world. And we may think, well, we will send everyone, better we send everyone out to collect money. You don't get much profit from the books. But actually, preach and money will come. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's motto. Just don't just don't go out and collect money. We're collecting money so that we can preach. But we preach and the money will come. That is the motto. Of course, you're building a big temple here. You need large amounts of money to do so. But our method of doing that is by preaching to people. Even this life membership program Srila Prabhupada started in India, in which substantial donations were taken from pious, wealthy people. Srila Prabhupada said, I started this program on the basis of my books. You give them so many books. Srila Prabhupada saw the life membership program as a means by which people would give money, which would be good for them, and then the temples needed to be built. But also, it wasn't just taking money from them, but make sure they get the books. Srila Prabhupada wanted to see that they get the books. And we see that, I personally have seen many times that people who became life members, they weren't particularly interested in the books, and then maybe 20 years later, their children read the books, and they become very interested. So in this way, this Sankirtan Yajna, it's all auspicious. Imperceptible auspiciousness is bestowed on the world. And Krishna, we can feel, we can experience Krishna, his miracles, Srila Prabhupada, his bringing Krishna consciousness to the West. It's a miracle. It was Krishna's help. If even one person had come to Krishna consciousness, that would be a great thing. When Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers preached in the West, there were 3 or 4 people came forward. It was a big thing. That 1 or 2 German men came to India and met Bhaktisthan Saraswati and became initiated. And it was a big thing. They put it in the newspapers and they printed it. And everyone knew their name. It was a big thing. It was Westerners becoming Krishna conscious. So what to speak of thousands and thousands. It was a miracle. And actually, every time we give someone a book, practically it's a miracle because people, like I said, people, they're not begging us to give the books. Why should they part with their dearer than life money, or money is sweeter than honey? The money which they're so much attached to, which they can use for sense gratification, to take books on a subject which they're not interested in. They might be interested in, just like we see on the trains, people come around and sell books with stories of Hanuman and Sai Baba and this and that, right? They have that in the trains, right? Isn't it in Tamil also, must be. So people are interested in this, in little storybooks with colorful pictures, but heavy philosophy and heavy demand, surrender to Krishna. People are not asking for that. But Krishna, we feel close to Krishna when we see that Krishna gives us the intelligence to get people to take these books. What's happening is that Krishna's arranging for their soul to be woken up. People are acting on the platform of the ego, thinking, I am this body, I am this mind, I am Tamil, I am a Hindu, I am a Muslim, I am a Brahmin, whatever. They're identifying with their body. And Krishna wakes up within their heart a spark of reciprocation with himself. We're engaging people in devotional service by taking books. They're coming closer to Krishna. They're making a step toward Krishna and paying for it, giving their money. It's offering to Krishna. They may not come to the temple and put money in the box, but we go out to them and they can give to us. And then we offer it to Krishna. So in this way, devotees, they evoke the presence of Krishna. Krishna must be there when the books are being sold. It's not like selling vacuum cleaners or books on how to pass your exams. It's not anything like that. This is directly enacted by this spiritual energy. Krishna is personally there. So devotees, naturally they come close to Krishna, because we can't do book distribution without Krishna. It's actually, we should know, Krishna is doing it. I can't do anything. If we think I'm doing, then we can't do anything. We know Krishna. It's He who's doing it. I can be an instrument. So by this, the devotees, they become Krishna conscious. What is Krishna conscious? To know that I'm a servant of Krishna. I can act as His instrument. And what is Maya consciousness? Ishvaroham, aham bhogi, I am the doer, aham karta, I am the doer, I am the controller, I'm happy without Krishna. So one has to be Krishna conscious to distribute these books, and one has to evoke in others some level of Krishna consciousness to take the book. And that means we have to come, we have to actually be connected with Krishna. So it requires that we pray to Krishna. We have to do our sadhana very well so that we can become close. We can be in Krishna consciousness and actually be Krishna's devotees. So we may have so many discussions about devotees and unity among devotees and how we can all cooperate together and be nice and be good. But this is the real thing. Come to the spiritual platform. So automatically that will bring unity among devotees. It's something like, to give a mundane example, when people are fighting in a war, the soldiers, they have to be united. They have to be one in purpose. If they're arguing among themselves, they'll quickly be destroyed by the enemy. Same in a sports team. If everyone's all together, one of the main things of a sports coach is not just the techniques of how to hit the ball and this in cricket or baseball or whatever, how to hit the ball and how to recognize what kind of a bowl is being done at you. It's not just the techniques, but one of the main things they have to do is just keep the spirit, it's psychological, keeping the spirits high. But in Krishna consciousness, we don't work exactly on the psychological platform. Just that everyone becomes united in the spirit of doing everything for Krishna. And then if we know we have a higher mission than satisfying my own ego, we have to satisfy Krishna's ego, then automatically we become united and we respect others who are doing that. We don't allow our own egoism, our own petty little desires to stand in the way of the higher mission of bringing Krishna consciousness to others. So automatically, we come to the platform. Chunadapi sunichena torori vasa hishnana amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is the key to pure devotional service. To be humble and tolerant and not want respect for ourselves, give respect to others. If we're fully absorbed in the preaching and book distribution mission, that will automatically bring humility, because we know that we can't do anything. We can't do anything by ourselves. We have to adopt the mentality of a completely surrendered puppet of Krishna's. And then Krishna, if we say to Krishna, let me do you what you want, let me do. We become totally humble. And then we have to be tolerant, because Krishna doesn't make it easy. We may have to take insults from others, being ignored by others. People don't care. They're annoyed at us. We have to tolerate, because if we don't tolerate, then we can't preach. Even when people say they don't want it, then we may go on and persist, and they may become more angry even. But still we have to try. And we have to be automatically this. the humility, tolerance, giving respect to others. We have to give respect to the people we're offering the books to. We can't go out to them and say, hey, you're an idiot. Hey, idiot, take this book. Who's going to take it? No one's going to take it. Hey, sadhava, we have to address them. Oh, you're a very great person. So take this book. You're great, yeah, great. Yeah, you're really great. Take this book. You're so wonderful, yes. You're so great, yes. You're so beautiful, yes. Take this book, yes. Oh, didn't mean to say that. That's actually, devotees used to have that kind of technique, get people to say yes, 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 and then take this book, yes. There's some techniques, or there's psychological techniques. So, humility, then not wanting respect for our others, that for ourselves, that comes with humility. When we know that we can't do anything, only Krishna can do, and then we know that we have to chant nicely. Hearing and chanting has, we can't space out, to use the old term. We have to be focused. It requires intense, it requires us to come to a high level of devotional service, which means that we can't be dwelling on our own personal desires. Same thing, in a battle, if the soldiers, the soldiers thinking, well, actually I'd like to go home and see my girlfriend, and in the meantime he's getting shot dead. He has to focus. Maybe he wants to go home and see his girlfriend, but first of all, he has to fight the battle. So, of course, we shouldn't think like that. I'll just read books and later on I'll go and see my girlfriend. We shouldn't think like that. Krishna won't give us the energy to distribute the books. We're saying, well, why do I need to distribute these books? I'll go and see her right now. And if we have a girlfriend, what are we doing distributing books? It's a ridiculous example, actually. But you get the point that we can't cultivate material desires and get Krishna's mercy at the same time. It's not. So by being absorbed in distributing this book, Srila Prabhupada says, this is samadhi, because we can't be absorbed in material thoughts. And then gradually Krishna gives so many realizations. That's why we always emphasize, when devotees join this movement, after they get some initial training, we want to send them out for book distribution. So it gives so many realizations. What is Prabhupada's mission? Why, when Srila Prabhupada says everyone is in Maya, or Krishna says everyone is in Maya, we get to see that face to face. By confronting the material energy head on, and we come to understand what is Prabhupada's mission. We get a little glimpse of his compassion, of how he wants to save all the conditioned souls, and how we all need to work together to do that. So compassion comes, understanding the philosophy. It may be we're sitting and studying, I am not the body, and this. But when we're going out distributing books, we can see that someone's talking, saying so many, giving so many reasons they don't want the books, but it's not them. In one sense, it's not them who's saying that. It's only, it's coming from their ego. It's not coming from their soul. The soul is crying out for Krishna consciousness, but they're covered by so many material designations. So we realize what's happening. We realize the philosophy that we learn, that what's going on. There's a person speaking, but it's not, he's speaking from the platform of the contaminated mind, the mind that is contaminated by desires for sense gratification. And we realize that everything Prabhupada has written is in these books. It's absolutely a fact. Then we get more inspiration to distribute these books. And we get compassion when we see that people, even if they're being rude to us, we can understand that they're suffering. They want to make me suffer by saying so many nasty things, but that's because they're suffering. They need this. Like Nityananda, he didn't get disturbed. When Jagai and Madhai, they acted so savagely with him. But he understood, they can say what they like, but it's really their suffering. They need this. They need this knowledge. So that all these good qualities automatically arise. So I can simply request you. Nowadays I'm more busy writing books, but I can request all of you to go on distributing these books and make Salem famous for Krishna consciousness. In Salem, and of course the books, they'll go here, there, so many places, all over the world. Everywhere, books should be distributed, every town and village. Hare Krishna. Any question about this place? Hare Krishna. Pancha kalpa tarubhyascha. Kripa sindhubhya ivacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.